I have
current geek.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Current Geek, the talk show. Oh, there it is. The talk show about items of interest to the geeks of the world and you. We weren't going to leave you out. Don't worry. I'm Scott Johnson. He's Tom Merritt. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Scott Johnson. It feels like forever since we got to do just a good old-fashioned conversational news discussy episode. That's what I call these now.
News discussies.
News discussy episode.
All right. I'm into it. Yeah, there was some travel. There's some stuff. It kind of got in the way. We were able to maintain the structure of the schedule, though.
We wanted to keep pace on the film fest for sure.
Yeah, and it was nice because the underlying the underlayment of our schedule remained strong and in high tension, and that's fantastic. So now we're back around another one of these, which is fantastic. We like to make sure we get these in twice a month, so you can get the other two weird things that we do, and we're thrilled to be here as always. So. Without any more ado.
Get rid of your ado. Finish your Mountain Dew. Throw out your ados. It's over. We're done.
I have a box full of ado, and I don't know what to do with it now. Instead, we'll do this.
Herbert Hoover, Secretary of Commerce in 1922, finds infant radio facilitates news gathering, as do many others in high public office.
Infant radio. Tom, what happened this week?
Man, y'all love to put the science stories on our subreddit, and we love it too. Check this one out. Scientists at Penn have developed a way to repair metal at room temperature, publishing the finding in the journal Advanced Functional Materials. Now, the usual way of repairing metal is to melt it, right? Mm. You've got a solder, like soldering, right?
Sure.
Is a melting of metal. Mm-hmm. Or blowtorch. You do welding. That's another way of repairing metal by melting it. It's energy intensive. It's destructive, right? Because you're melting the metal in order to repair it, but it's, you know, locationally destructive. And that's not good for foam-based metal structure, F-O-A-M. Foam-based metal structure has air in the metal when it's formed, making it strong but lightweight. And so when you weld it, it takes away some of those properties. Well, in this new way of repairing foam metal, they deposited a thin layer of a polymer, Perlene D, on the struts that were made of a nickel foam, and the polymer would break before the metal. Now, that would let them know where they needed to repair. And then scientists used electroplating to replant the exposed broken nickel.
Okay.
So they would just find where the break was, where the repair needed to make, and then they could just electroplate, and that would not melt things, it wouldn't destroy things, and it would keep the lightweight strength of the nickel foam. Healing took about 4 hours in most cases, and it wasn't automatic. It's not actually self-healing yet, but the team does hope to develop a way to integrate an electrolyte fluid into metal foams so that it could truly do self-heal.
That's interesting. That has all kinds of as you're reading that and the concept of metal healing itself, I started to think of all the far-reaching applications like
Terminator.
Sure. Terminator fixing himself, because that's what you need.
Flowing like electrolytes.
Yep.
There's
no good. No Terminator is worth his salt if he can't freaking self-heal. But not only that.
If he can't self-heal.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. But also, like, let's say you bought a brand new expensive car and you've now wrapped that thing around a tree, the metal parts of it, the framing, that sort of thing. If that could be more, I don't know.
Yeah.
Without all the blowtorchy and the heat and the extreme energy use, efficient.
More efficient.
Sure.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense.
If a bunch of the struts, I mean, probably it's so complex when you wreck a car, but it would reduce the amount of repair, right?
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't fix everything, but like your leg.
Right.
But your leg can self-heal with the proper attention and splints.
Sure. But also like structures, like buildings. Let's say something's bridges. Damaged in an earthquake.
Bridges was the first thing I thought of. I don't know if they build bridges out of nickel foam or not, but you know, a bridge that has damage and then self-repairs, that makes me feel a lot better about walking across that bridge.
Yeah, you guys get one of your LA quakes, your little mini quakes. It disrupts a bridge a little bit. Nothing too bad, but could get worse if they don't do something about it.
Yep.
Instead of shutting the whole thing down for days and days and days, maybe just overnight, they put a 4-hour heal on
one of those little 100-calorie mini quakes.
Yeah.
So tasty.
Did you feel the last one you had? Like,
what's... Sorry, those are mini cakes.
Oh, mini cakes. Sorry. Yeah, coffee quakes is what I was thinking of.
The last one we had was when I was in Toronto. Actually, I was in Hamilton at the time.
Okay.
I was in Hamilton. So no, Hamilton was far enough from Los Angeles that I didn't feel it. But I found out about it from someone else from Hamilton who was delayed at the Las Vegas airport trying to get to Hamilton and said, oh my gosh, I just felt an earthquake. Apparently it's in LA. After which I texted my wife in Los Angeles and said, did we have an earthquake? She's like, yeah, we just did. So kind of a, you know, amazing story of information technology, I guess.
Sure. Did you, when you came home, did you walk into your studio and go, all these things I have within inches of my fingers that I pull out all the time to show people on shows, it has all fallen down and it can't get up?
No, thankfully we weren't that close to the epicenter, so we didn't have anything fall down.
All right. Well,
besides, they're all in a filing cabinet.
Oh, okay. Oh, really? I didn't know that. Pull me something random. Let's see what random weird thing that you got. This is just my favorite thing in the world. Yeah, I know, listeners at home, I'll explain what he...
I don't know what this is. I'm just pulling something random. All right. It is the average per show traffic of Twitch shows from June 2010 and 2011, including Forecast.
Wow.
Which had 10,099.
Ah, we have that beat on this show, so take that, Forecast. We inserted you into a bigger show. Ah, yay!
Yay!
Ah, well done. That's cool. That's an ancient document now. That's 10 years old.
Yeah, thing.
Or 9, I guess. Almost 10. Anyway, well, that was fun. Tell me about Twitter. What's going on with Twitter and the TSA?
Oh, sure. A Twitter user going by Dark Ashnet asked the TSA, that's the airport security folks here in the United States, whether the special Galaxy's Edge soda bottles that are shaped like thermal detonators could be packed in luggage. The soda bottles are round. They're like a globular shape. They're a sphere. That's what I was looking for.
Spherical. There you go.
Spherical. With a little cap that's kind of looks like a gear, you know. They're designed to look like thermal detonators. I think Dark Ashnet was trying to be funny. Like, hey, these look kind of fishy. Am I allowed to take these? To which the Ask TSA Twitter account responded, replica and inert explosives aren't allowed in either carry-on or checked bags.
Oh my. But hold on.
So apparently, if you go to Galaxy's Edge in Orlando or Anaheim, you can't take your souvenir soda bottles back with you.
That surprises me a little because I have enough friends in the cosplay and sort of prop making business, Build-A-Ram being one of them. I know that they've moved about the country in, well, maybe they're not putting them in carry-on bags though.
Well, if you're doing a replica, yeah, maybe they're shipping actual guns. But if you do a replica lightsaber, that's fine.
Yeah, that'd be okay, wouldn't it?
Right? And TSA even says, like, yes, the lightsabers are not replicas. You can bring those along.
Yeah. I'm a little surprised they don't. So, just go ahead and say, well, I guess here's the problem. The Galaxy's Edge soda bottles could be, somebody could take one and turn it into an explosive device, right? Like, if they really wanted to.
I mean, someone could take a regular soda bottle and turn it into
That's true. They could also, you know what else they could do? They could take a lightsaber replica and turn it into an improvised bomb.
It's not that. It's that they, I'm curious whether this, I really don't get this because the Ask TSA did say that.
Yeah.
And they said, well, lightsabers aren't real, so that's okay. But thermal detonators are not real.
No, they're not real either.
They say these, in the X-ray scanners, that these look too much like grenades.
Replica?
They didn't say that, but that's the only thing I can figure.
Yeah, when they say replica, I don't think they're meaning specifically sci-fi replica. When they say replica, they mean replica of an explosive device, even if it's inert, are not allowed in the carry-on. All right, well, whatever. I got a knife through TSA once, so they're not paying that much attention. Not saying you should test it. Don't take your fake grenades on planes. I'm just saying they're not perfect at this.
No, and whenever you bring up your knife story, it always reminds me of when they almost took Gavel McLeod at the Salt Lake City Airport.
the far more deadly weapon, the Gavel McLeod.
Yeah.
Was a bummer.
Well, because I had taken it, I had looked it up, and I found specifically on the website where it said a gavel is allowed in your carry-on bags.
Yeah.
Like, they actually call out a gavel because I guess they have enough judges flying around, right?
Right.
So I'm like, okay, cool. I don't have to check that because I wasn't checking a bag.
Yeah.
And so when I went through, I probably was flying from SFO that time, but when I went through SFO, no worries, no problems. They didn't blink an eye. But then one guy at Salt Lake City was like, I don't think you can take this. I think he just wanted the gavel.
Yeah, he wanted the gavel. It's famous for.
Because as soon as I was like, you know, I looked up on the website and it said I could. I was trying to be, you know, polite, non-confrontational. Sure. And he was like, well, and then somebody else came over and they chatted and he's like, okay, you're fine.
So that gavel you have in your hands right now, is that the original gavel McLeod?
Yes. Yes. This was sent to me by a Current Geek listener.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
Fantastic.
And it has remained with me ever since.
And before you got it, were you just banging your knuckles on the desk or how were you doing it?
We didn't have a gavel at the opening of Current Geek until this arrived.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that. I feel like I'm staring at a little bit of history there. That's fantastic.
No, because you would say the meetings of the proceedings of the Frog Pants All-Stars, and I would say, man, I feel like I should have a gavel
when
you say that.
You were right, it turns out.
And then someone sent me a gavel, and
nice.
Rest is history.
Did you guys know that? That's a cool story you all got today. You thought it was just going to be scientists at Penn University and Galaxy Edge soda bottles today, but no.
Oh, no.
Nope. You're going to get a little bit of piece of history, podcasting legend. In your
perhaps,
yeah, perhaps. Perhaps indeed.
Trailer's out for the Mandalorian television series coming to Disney Plus on November 12th. We got word that Ming-Na Wen is in the series as well. You might know her from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh yeah,
most recently I think
she's great.
But she was also in she's been in a ton of stuff, a
bunch of other stuff. Yes. Yeah. All of it escapes me at the moment, but this is going to be her.
The Mandalorian also stars Pedro Pascal, Gina Carano, Giancarlo Esposito, Emily Swallow, Carl Weathers, Omid Abtahai, Werner Herzog, and Nick Nolte. This is going to be a cast.
Those last two, I don't want to skip over that too much. Those last two are epic additions to this cast. Werner Herzog, who's a director known for both actual like dramatic film and mostly really great documentaries. Is a singular dude. There's no one like him. No one sounds like him. He's got this crazy, gravelly German accent. He's haunting in everything he ever does a little cameo.
Hell of a filmmaker.
In. Yeah, he's amazing. He's great. I love his voice. There's nothing like it. So knowing he's in there is great. Nick Nolte, my favorite Nick Nolte phase is the current phase. Really old Nick Nolte is my favorite Nick Nolte. And I cannot wait to see how those guys
play. Like the older he gets, the more favorite he gets for you.
Yeah. Older he gets, the more scraggly, the more hair is coming
Nolte
out of holes.
May Nick Nolte never die.
No. May he never die is right. But also it's funny how we sort of just say, oh, and Pedro Pascal is in this as well. But he's like literally in the suit. He is the Mandalorian. He's the guy. Now I got a question for you. Do you think that guy with some, you know, some storied history, he was in Game of Thrones. He played the, what was his name? He had a name. He fought the mountain and his name was the Viper. He was the Viper. I forgot his other character name, but they called him the Viper, the Snake. Anyway, whatever.
Snakes were his team.
Right. And then we know him from.
Snakes.
The Snakes. We know him from a Narcos show. On the Netflix, and he is fantastic in that. And I've seen him in half a dozen other things, and he is always compelling, always interesting. However, he says nothing in this trailer. We don't know anything about his character except that, you know, typically these guys with the Mandalorian helmet looking things are often silent protagonists. Do you think that we are going to just have him as a silent protagonist? A guy who never says much, just swoops into town, smuggles your business, and gets out of there. Or do you think he's going to be more nuanced than that? What do you think?
I don't think he's going to be a mute. I don't think he's going to be, you know, not saying a word. But I think he's going to be like Clint Eastwood in Good, Bad, and the Ugly.
Yeah.
Right. Man of few words. Only speaks when he needs to.
Right. I can see that.
My mule. Are you laughing at my? What are they called? The things on Tatooine.
Bantha. My Bantha?
Bantha?
Poodoo?
You laughing at my Bantha? My Bantha don't like it.
You want me to throw Bantha Poodoo at you? Chat room says, does anyone speak in the trailer? Yeah, a whole bunch of people talk in the trailer, but he doesn't. He doesn't say a word.
Not Pedro Pascal. No. We're holding out on that.
Yeah, yeah. I'm excited about it, though.
I wonder how many people are going to be disappointed when they find out it's not Boba Fett because they weren't paying attention.
Well, I think it's a sizable group because how many people really know the difference? They're going to see that helmet and go,
there's going to be people who get Disney Plus for High School Musical.
Right.
They're going to see The Mandalorian and go, there's a Boba Fett show. They're going to start watching it.
I like that they're James Stewart when they make the discovery. That's what it sounded like when you just did it.
Obviously, Jimmy Stewart loves High School Musical. Not a fan of Star Wars, but doesn't hate it.
Yeah. Pedro Eastwood says Furry Viking. That's a good comparison. Like, it is very much... What I'm excited about The Mandalorian, and the trailer really got me where I live, is it does feel like this is a space western. And it's my favorite backdrop for Star Wars stuff anyway. I like the smuggling. I like the dark, dirty city stuff. I like the far
out. This takes
out.
Place, like, what, 5 years after the events of Return of the Jedi? So there's kind of a lawless period where the Republic hasn't quite built itself up, but the Empire is in tatters.
Yep. You're telling me all the things I love. Like, everything you just said is perfect. I want everything to be in tatters. I want Vader's reign over and things being a mess and people scrambling for scraps.
I think the Emperor would call it the Emperor's reign, but okay.
Fine. Good point. But that's my favorite bit. And to do it on, you know, some crappy, dusty planets and some really cool ship designs and everyone's just a little dirty, a little crusty, a little rusty. That is my kind of Star Wars. I am so, so excited about this.
This is going to be filling a gap that I've heard a lot of different people complain about.
Yeah.
They're saying, I miss the used universe, right?
Yeah.
Things are too clean, even in Force Awakens, definitely in the prequels, but even in Force Awakens, too clean.
Agree.
I miss stories that are just about, you know, the people unrelated to the major events of the galaxy. Everything in the Star Wars movies now is about trade negotiations and rebels trying to overthrow stuff. Just give me the side story. Give me that Tatooine feel where you're just off and away from the major events. I've heard that. And I've heard people say that they just want new stories.
Yeah.
And it seems like you're going to get all of that in this.
I think so too. And I know that, you know, expectations being what they are for Star Wars, oftentimes we'll get a thing and we'll just be, oh, okay, well, that was all right. I think they have a real chance here to flesh stuff out in a way that you can't with a movie. You got to, like, settle on your 2 hours and hit play. But in this case, you've got an arc and you have multiple episodes and you have multiple seasons, hopefully, and possibly crossover with other things that they
I would actually not want this to cross over. For a while, anyway.
I don't want it in movies. I don't want it in movies, but I wouldn't mind if another show on the Disney Plus service had some kind of connection.
Well, but the only other show I think is a Rogue One spinoff, so it's in a different time.
Oh, right. And then the Obi-Wan era thing, but the Obi-Wan thing's also a different time.
Oh, yeah, the Obi-Wan's also in a different time era.
I mean, he's dead at this stage, so...
Well, he's become more powerful than you could possibly imagine, if that's what you mean.
He's a Force ghost. And we need the Ghostbusters to come suck him into.
He's a Force ghost, coast to coast.
That's almost better than Space Ghost. You didn't hear me say that. But anyway, look forward to it, you guys.
Yeah, no, strike it rich. You nailed it. Casablanca Cantina mashup.
Yeah, that's it.
Yep.
That's the tension I'm looking for, and it looks great. And I have a trust mistrust relationship with can't think of his name all of a sudden. He's show running. Directed Iron Man. John Favreau. John Favreau makes many things that I really like and then a few things I really dislike. And sometimes they're in the same, you know, sentence. Sometimes it's Iron Man is amazing and Iron Man 2 is kind of meh, right? So I know he can do this and make it amazing. And so I'm having all the faith in the world in it and I cannot wait for it. Is this launching day and date? Like with the service? We're going to get it?
Yes.
See, that's perfect. Oh my gosh. I haven't been this excited about Star Wars in a while, I have to admit. I'm pretty stoked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Looking forward to halfway through season one and when it turns into Space Chef.
Oh, that'd be good, right?
And it's just the Mandalorian going to different kitchens and learning.
It's perfect. And he'll help the struggling restaurants on the outskirts of the Outer Rim. Yeah.
The outskirts of the Outer Rim.
Yeah. He'll teach them how to make stuff and then.
With their food space trucks.
Yeah. And then we can learn all about this.
I would suggest then that old popular holiday favorite, the Bantha Rump.
From the old holiday special, the Bantha Rump.
Good old-fashioned Bantha Rump. Never disappoints. You know what does disappoint, though? This whole Spider-Man thing. This is a couple weeks old now, so your outrage may have cooled, and that's a good thing. Spider-Man involvement in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, up in the air. I think up in the air is what we can say now.
Sure.
The story went through several stages of grief, but the upshot is Disney and Sony say they're still negotiating, so they're may still yet be in agreement. We haven't heard anything lately. But a couple weeks ago, sources were telling Deadline that Disney wanted to change from their 5% of first dollar gross, which is what they agreed on for Spider-Man Homecoming and Spider-Man Far From Home, to a 50-50 co-financing stake. And that's in order not only to integrate Spider-Man across the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but particularly to let Feige produce. Because without Kevin Feige, you don't get the integration across the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Right.
Disney already gets all the money from Spider-Man merch, by the way. So Sony has to make their money off the movie. They can't Spaceballs this and make money off the merch. Right. Sony, after this came out and the leak, which was obviously a leak from Disney because the leak pointed the finger at Sony and made it sound like it was all Sony's fault. When these, as you know, with these negotiations, it's never one side's fault, really. Sony says that the problem was with Feige's schedule, that he's overloaded. That doesn't ring true to me either, by the way. You don't not strike a deal just because Feige's busy. But Sony does have two more Spider-Man films planned. And the bad news is that John Watts, who directed the first two, is not yet signed to direct them. So that could fall through as well. None of this affects Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. None of this affects the Spider-Man animated show that's coming to Disney Plus. But it does put the future of Tom Holland showing up in MCU films in question.
Right. I mean, now that the steam is lifted from this, I'm glad we did it now and not when it was the hot topic, because I swear the internet turned into nothing but anger over Star Wars or over Spider-Man and the MCU and everything. And so I'm glad we're looking at it now with a little bit of distance. And me in particular, because I was pretty upset about the idea of it going away or going a different direction. I don't think anybody in this scenario, any side to this, whether it's Feige or it's Sony or Disney or whoever, they all want this to work. Like, I think there's an undercurrent of, well, of course we want this. Why wouldn't you want this? The best days of Spider-Man are happening under these conditions. So why would we want to upset that too much? So my personal belief has been, kind of since the beginning, pretty optimistic that they will find a deal. And the fact that they're still saying that things are still in negotiation is a sign to me that it's not over yet. And I think they'll find a way to do it. I cannot imagine for the life of me Spider-Man outside of its current arc. I just can't do it because that won't make them the big money. They'll still do okay. All the Spider-Man movies have made money, but none of them have reached the kind of, I don't know, crescendo that these recent two have, nor would I would actually argue that the MCU would have been weaker in the latter half without Spider-Man's involvement. That decision was huge and made a gigantic impact across the whole rest of how this thing played out all the way up through Endgame. And I don't want it any other way. It was perfect the way that Spider-Man was able to be a part of this in such a major way. So to take all that away seems like detrimental to everybody. And so I think someone's going to blink and they'll make a deal and it'll be fine. The deal with John Watts, I mean, there are plenty of directors, lots of guys could do good stuff. But I really do like his touch here, and it would bum me out if he wasn't involved. He was, I recently figured out that he made another movie. It's currently on Netflix called Cop Car. It's a small, I wouldn't say independent, but a small film he made in 2016. And was it 15? Either one of those. I highly recommend people check out Cop Car. It's not Spider-Man at all. It's completely not even in this genre. But it is a wonderful look at why that guy got picked. He has got a real touch for cool stuff. And Cop Car is awesome. So, and you get to see Kevin Bacon in a thing you haven't seen him in a long time. It was really good. Yeah. Kevin Bacon.
My take on this is, Disney looked at all the money Spider-Man was making and looked at the deal that it agreed to get Spider-Man into Avengers, looked at the fact that it doesn't need Spider-Man for Phase 4, even though it would like Spider-Man. It's all about the Eternals, right? So you could do it without, and said, hey, we should try to improve this deal because we have the upper hand. They have more to lose than we do. And that's when you go into a negotiation, when you feel like your opponent has more to lose than you do.
Right.
Sony, I think, is looking at this saying, okay, there was the whole Amy Pascal thing that kind of had us over a barrel, and they got us to agree to this deal, and it certainly turned out well, but we would like to gain control of our properties again. This is a little bit outside our control, and Disney coming in and wanting a bigger stake is only eroding control. And now that I'm in charge of Sony Pictures, I want to, you know, nail down this deal and make sure we're not getting taken advantage of. And that's a perfectly legitimate response on Sony's part. So, it was kind of a product of its time that Sony and Disney would make this deal. That time is over. It's an unusual deal. I'm not hopeful that two big movie studios are going to come to an arrangement like that again. It was kind of a once in a lifetime deal.
Yeah. It's a question of did it do enough for, did it up the value of the property Sony controls enough for them to be willing to give ground to Disney when Disney already has taken a bunch of ground? And it, like
or,
you said,
or if it's like, look, we can make less money on Spider-Man, but keep more of it and have a stronger hand in negotiations with others. Right. Because the other thing is, if you give into Disney, then other people are like, well, hey, why don't you give us the same deal Disney gave?
Yeah. Then it gets weird. You're right.
It's not like Spider-Man is the only property Sony Pictures had.
No. And they did, you know, they have intermittently done okay with some of the things that they have. Kind of rarely, though. I don't know. I'm thinking of Fox mostly. Fox has other issues, which they no longer own those things, so it doesn't matter. But they kind of squandered a lot of that. So we'll see how it goes.
I think this is a situation where Disney has nothing to lose. The MCU will be just fine without Spider-Man. It'll be sad, but they've made the best use of Spider-Man already. And Sony feels confident that they don't want to give up that much for it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Is it still, it'd be, I mean, there's no talk that they wouldn't do all they could to retain, I can't think of his name all of a sudden, our current Spider-Man actor.
Oh, Tom Holland.
Yeah, they'd keep Tom Holland the best they could, right? They don't want to get rid of him. They don't want to start over.
Who knows, right? If they agree to something, then certainly they would.
Yeah.
They already set that up as like, he's going to be the new Tony Stark, right?
Right.
But if this falls apart, they might just decide to reboot Spider-Man again. I think that'd be silly. I think if you can get Tom Holland, you should, because more people will show up for Tom Holland thinking, well, at least it's kind of nominally in the MCU if Tom Holland's still there.
Just the mere suggestion of that just makes my gut hurt. But I think you're probably right. And they have, if they were going to get the best out of Spider-Man before the MCU wrapped its phase, they did. They killed it with that. Well done. If you're going to lose him, now would be the time. I just think it would be a real bummer moving forward.
Yeah, but it would be.
Then again, these all are
right,
movies.
Let me cheer you back up again. Right. Kevin Smith is showrunning a new animated revival of Masters of the Universe Revelation, which will deal with unresolved elements of the classic 80s cartoon. In a statement, Netflix said it will tell the epic tale of what may be He-Man and Skeletor's final battle.
Oh, no, final battle. Holy
because
crap.
We wouldn't want to say it is the final battle, because then we wouldn't get to make another season of it later if it does really well. He-Man coming back to Netflix with Kevin Smith running the show.
There are some rumors surrounding it that it would be very action-focused and perhaps even a bit of an anime influence, although not necessarily, you know, written or made in Japan, but kind of, you know, it would have that look, which lends itself well to action. So I'm all for this, 100% for this. A lot of people are like, why do I want more He-Man? I know the answer, because you want more He-Man. He-Man's great. There's nothing wrong with this. They need to do it. They've had a successful She-Ra
the
reboot.
Story was not finished, folks.
No.
It's all about the lore.
Right. The deep lore of He-Man and the Masters of the Universe. Lore. Sure. But I am all for this idea.
Right. It's like, just like, hey, man, if you like He-Man, you get more He-Man. Yeah. And you get somebody who really loves it doing it. That's a good sign.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. I'm in. I'm all in. I mean, Kevin Smith's involvement is great. I don't know what it will do in terms of, you know, does that mean more humor? Does it mean his style? I don't know. Like, that's hard to say.
I think it's just his love of things, right? His adoration for these properties means that he will do his best to preserve what made He-Man great.
Yeah. And I'm into that.
Yeah.
I'm into it. Too. Bring it on and do another Christmas special like that one you and I did a live watch of. Remember that?
That's right.
Terrible. That was really, it was good. Horrible.
Really good.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
It was amazing.
Warner Brothers is working on a new Matrix movie starring Keanu Reeves and Carrie Ann Moss, produced, directed, and co-written by Lana Wachowski, not both Wachowski.
Yeah. So no Wachowski siblings here, but.
Yes, Lana.
A lot of people pooped their pants over this in a negative way and said, this is no good. The last two were terrible, and that first one was amazing, and they ruined it. And My answer to that is they didn't ruin the first one because the first one stands on its own and is still amazing. The second two are a matter of taste.
You made the other two. Now the first one sucks.
They've ruined your childhood or your adulthood.
That's physics, Scott.
Your young adulthood was ruined. Exactly. But one will always be a classic for me. Two and three, whatever. I don't care that much. But I'm all for trying this. Just go ahead. Do it. Like
I mean, two and three feel irrelevant to me. It's like, so what? Two and three were bad. That doesn't matter. If this one could be good.
Yeah.
I like that they've got Keanu Reeves talked into it. Yep. That's a good sign.
Yep.
I'm curious how that works. but you know, stranger things have been done in movies, so I'm not hung up on that. I am nervous that it's just Lana. Mostly just because I don't know what Lana will do with the Matrix on her own.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So I'm nervous, not in a, I don't have faith in her. It's like, oh, okay. This is unplowed territory. It doesn't mean it'll automatically be bad. Mm-hmm. Could be great. Sure. Maybe this is the thing she needed, is to have a solo project. Not that her brother was holding her back or anything, but just like she just needed to like strike out on her own and get that creative vision going.
Yeah, I have no problem with any of that. I hope that I guess it's sister now, right? The other brother is trans also, right? Do I have that right?
Oh, are they both sisters?
I think they're sisters now.
I keep
saying siblings because I don't want to screw it up, but I'm pretty sure they're both technically sisters now. But anyway, the point is, Carrie Ann Moss back in. She's great. I love her. I follow her on Instagram. She's a very nice lady. And Keanu Reeves, is his star has never shown.
Lily,
that's
they're
it.
Both sisters.
Yeah, that's
my,
right.
My apologies to Lily.
Keanu Reeves' star has never burned so bright. So bring him back. Let's have this thing. Everyone's aged a bit. That's cool. It can only, the worst it can be, Tom, is it sucks like two and three. Oh, well, that's fine. You tried. But it could be great. And I'm all in to see. So let's just try it. It's not a problem. Go for it. The Matrix is awesome and should be awesome again. So bring it back. I'm ready. I want to thank all our subredditors for sending us these rad stories. Many of them were submitted by you over our subreddit at currentgeek.reddit.com. Tom, who in particular should we thank this week?
Jeff Rose. I don't know about what y'all are doing over there, but Jeff Rose is not letting up. Jeff Rose submitted all but one of the stories that we used on the show today. Don't make Jeff do all the work.
Yeah.
Get over there and submit a story and keep voting on them like you have been. That's great. Currentgeek.reddit.com. Thank you to Matt Black Cube, who submitted the Matrix story.
Very nice.
That as well.
I like that a lot. Now this. Rolling, 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 rolling. It's a new segment. Still new. We're going to call it new till we don't. Called Keep On Rolling, where Tom reads Scott a passage from the French literary critic Roland Barthes' seminal work, Mythologies. Tom, take it away.
We know that the war against intelligence is always waged in the name of common sense.
Whoa.
I'm going to keep these shorter now. I'm going to try to go more quotable. What do you think that means? We know that the war against intelligence is always waged in the name of common sense.
Against intelligence. Okay, here's what I think it is. If people want to stop people from using their brains and thinking deeply about an issue or subject, often the best way to do that is to make intelligence and smart thinking look like the bad guy so that you can better justify your ignorance. And he's saying that's...
Yeah, I mean, I can stand here with hairspray all day. I don't see a hole. It's common sense.
Yeah, that's the
that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's that kind of thing. Exactly that. No offense to any hairspray people who are pointing that in the sky and acting like it's.
How is this world round? I'm walking around and not falling off of it.
Yeah.
It's common sense.
Yeah, it's flat. How come I'm not slipping off one side of the planet while the other guy does? Common sense.
Tom. Common sense.
Yeah, that's pretty good. He's a smart guy, it turns out. And that is a much shorter.
I realized that, you know, it was fun. Like letting you bathe in the flowery prose of Roland Barthes. But at this point, I think we'll go with the punchier excerpt quotes and see what we can make.
I like it.
A little more digestible.
I completely agree. Well done. Also, a reminder that this show in its entirety is brought to you by your help, your support, and your dollars over at currentgeek.com, which you can then link to patreon.com/currentgeek. Yeah, that's right. We use a Patreon for this. There are physical rewards, digital ones, all sent to you depending on what level you're on every month just for being a pal of the show. And not only that, it makes you just feel good about helping support the show you love. Good content, I wish, was all free. But thanks to you guys, it's making it happen. And for those who already do, thank you hugely. Everybody else, consider heading on over there, patreon.com/currentgeek, and give us a shot today.
The future promises even more startling things to come.
The aforementioned forecast. We talked about it a little bit in other context earlier in the show, but now I'll tell you what it is. It's a segment on the show where we talk about the future, be it technology, society, popular culture, whatever. And it can be far-flung, it can be near, but one way or the other, we break it all down and talk about it with each other. I came up with this week's prediction, and here's what I think. Been thinking about this lately. There will come a day, not that far off, but by those terms, I mean maybe in the next 50 years, let's say. That's pretty far off, I guess. We will all have, well, some of us won't be here, but people will have personal hover drones that are always buzzing around us, and they'll be silent, and they'll be, I don't know, this big, very small, and they will be our digital assistants of the future. When you walk into a meeting, you walk in, you'll sit down, and your little hover drone thing will just go down by you and sit on the table next to you, and it will be there to provide information you need. You will just talk to it naturally and it'll do what you ask and need. And you're like, oh shoot, I left my watch upstairs, or I left whatever. I left the stove on. It'll, no matter where you're at, it'll fly home because of advanced battery and power consumption.
You don't have a smart oven, you could just use the app to turn it off.
You're probably right. Those are this bad example. But like whatever our future like inconveniences are, your little drone buddy is going to go do all this stuff for you.
I left my phone in the other room. You don't need a phone. I'm a smart drone.
It will do things like, here's my favorite part of how this will work. It will negotiate with other drones to get things done. So let's say in the future, there's still a need for you to meet with somebody to create a transaction to purchase a home or to get a loan on a car, whatever. Your drone will have the ability to go and hover over to the drone that is at the bank dude or whoever you're talking to, the agent. Mm-hmm. His drone will come up. And they will wirelessly communicate with each other. And all the hard bits like your financial history, your credit report, your blah, 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 all that stuff is just sent, mixed, back and forth, done, whatever they have to do, all in real time. And all that's left is a signature, which will probably be some sort of holographic, just wave your finger in the air and sign something. And then it's going to take care of all that dirty work for us. And it will be so secure that it'll just be a trusted thing. Our little drones are the thing we trust now. Even more than phones today, even more than other smart devices, these drones are going to be like a part of us. And they won't need to charge for really long periods of time. They might even be solar in some way. I don't know. Power consumption will be not even a thing you think about. That just takes care of itself. And they charge themselves. They take care of all that maintenance. And they'll be inexpensive enough that everybody will be expected to have one of these in the same way that you have a car now, or you have a phone, or whatever common thing we all have is. You'll be a really far outlier if you don't have your drone. Tom, thoughts?
Do you know, my immediate thought is I'm watching a movie in this world in which this exists. And in the movie, this couple that are romantically involved are having an argument, and they walk into a room. One of them turns to the other and says, can we just do this without the drones? And they turn like, okay, Basil, quiet mode.
Basil, the drone.
And the drones fly off into the other room and they continue the argument.
Yeah, I can see that. Like there would be a natural, that's the other thing, is the devices would be so smart about human interactions that they would know when to not be there for private conversations or a film is going on and everybody's trying to focus. You don't want people's drones hovering around or shooting lights everywhere.
Yeah, you have your airplane mode for the drone.
Yeah, so they would all...
By the way, airplane mode is going to be a thing. I'm just going to throw this out here as a side prediction. Airplane mode is going to be a thing like album or record tune in that we're going to use it for dampening transmissions in ways that have nothing to do with airplanes. And people are going to go, why is that called airplane mode, by the way?
I feel like we're already doing it incidentally.
Because we're already doing part of it. Like you go into the movie theater and they're like, put your phone in airplane mode.
It's like,
right? It doesn't seem weird because we're all like, oh, right. Because when you're on an airplane, you do that too.
Yeah.
But eventually you're not going to need to do it on the airplane. But just in positions where you do need to turn off transmissions, they're going to be like, put it in airplane mode. Kids are going to be like, why is it called airplane mode? It's so weird. Airplane mode makes it sound like it should be flying, not turning things off.
Mm-hmm. It's like video game. There are video games today. They always say, you know, don't turn off your console or your computer while this save icon is animating. And
oh, right.
It's like a little floppy drive, a 3.5-inch floppy drive. Nobody knows what that is now. Like, my kids don't know what that is. I mean, they know what it is because I tell them, but...
Who was it? Somebody recently was saying their kids thought it was something else.
Oh, yeah. It was me. Somebody had thought it was a vending machine.
So that's right.
If you look at it, it looks like the little slit part down at the bottom is where the Coke comes out, and up top is all your selections. And it's just... We call it the save icon so simply and easily, you and we know it and we recognize it for what it is. It still gets used in that way, and it's still synonymous with the act of saving. But it's one of those things. It's one of these symbologies. It's like, you know, icons on a computer. We still call it a desktop. We still call it a, you know, freaking folders and, just the way we do things as humans. And it's an interesting thing because as much as we advance and as much as we progress in tech, we still like to hold on to these old ways of describing something. And in the future,
I like this hover drone idea.
Yeah.
Whether it be in airplane mode or not.
Right.
Oddly, when you put the drone in airplane mode, it no longer flies.
Oh.
So weird.
Think of that. Actually, what they should all do is go up into the roof, the rafters of the movie theater, and just chill up there until like they're needed again. Yeah, like bats. Oh my gosh. I mean, I know there's a lot of stuff I'm not thinking about, like in mass transit. Are they everywhere? Like what? But that's the thing, is they would be smart enough to never run into each other, never into other people. It would be.
Yeah, I assume they're real small, right? So yeah, they just perch on your shoulder or somewhere.
Like this big. And they would be really strong, though. So they could carry objects to you within reason.
Mm-hmm. They probably got some kind of nickel foam self-healing metal.
Yeah, they get hurt. They just heal up overnight.
Because they're strong but light.
See, we've tied it all together. Mm-hmm. They also lament that Tom Holland might not be Spider-Man.
They love the classic Spider-Man with Tom Holland.
Oh, yeah, the classic 50-year-old Spider-Man from all those days ago. Anyway, there's my prediction. Eat that, everybody at home.
It's a good one. I like it.
Tell us what you think. You have your own, you can send those in too, and we'll talk about them right here on the show. It's time for the best thing of all time this week. It's the thing we love the most that we're really into, at least this week. And it could change next week. In fact, it will. But for now, it's a thing. And so, Tom, I'll start with you. What are you really digging this week?
I had the pleasure recently of visiting the nation of France. Mm. The nation of France kindly allowed me into their country to taste their delectable foods and enjoy their wonderful entertainments. And one of the last things we did on the very last day we were in Paris, Eileen and I went into a convenience store.
Okay.
Because this is something that Eileen was telling me about for years. She's been to Paris like 4 times. This is my first time going. And she's like, you got to go into the convenience store because they have all this amazing stuff. I'm like, all right, cool. And I've seen convenience stores in Japan. So I know this template of like, oh yeah, the convenience stores in Japan are amazing too. So I go in. It was not like the convenience stores in Japan, but the snack section, pretty damn impressive. And we bought a bunch of snacks, some of which we ate in the hotel room. Others we just packed in the luggage and brought back with us. And one that we brought back with us that I can't stop eating, but there's actually one left. And I'm like, I shouldn't eat the one last one. I should let Eileen have that last one. Are Björk dark chocolate biscuits.
Not named after the famous Swedish tennis player, right?
Don't think so. No. they do not sell them in the United States, but they do sell them all over Europe and Africa and the Middle East. They are biscuits in the sense of cookies, and they have a dark chocolate filling. It's not like a mushy filling. It's kind of a hard dark chocolate, but it's not too hard. Mm-hmm. And they're delicious.
These sound so great. Good. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Sometimes you can get, let's see if Amazon does anything. Nope.
You can.
Oh, you can.
You can get them shipped from the UK through Amazon for an exorbitant amount of shipping.
Ah, yeah.
Like the box itself is not that much more expensive than you would buy it off the shelf, but then you have to pay this crazy amount of shipping.
Oh, you know what? Now that I see these, I think we tested these on TMS once. Some French or somebody overseas sent us a pack.
They are most popular in France, it seems like, when I was looking around for places to find them.
Yeah.
They're often billed as a French snack.
And they got that waffle kind, too, like the...
Yeah, the same company makes a lot of other stuff.
Okay. Yeah, I've had some of this before. Well, now you're just making me hungry for good things.
I know. And I want to pay the stupid shipping at least just once. I mean, I obviously can't make a habit of it, but
yeah,
so good.
Maybe we got a hookup over there. Anyone French listening and want to give us a, you know, underground
above board, you know, we're yeah. willing to pay customs or whatever.
Right.
I don't know if there's a tariff on Bjorg dark chocolate biscuits now.
Well, there might be. There is on making comics overseas. So good luck with that, everybody. All right. Well, that's awesome. I'm excited about that. Here's my favorite thing. I'm going to play a little bit of it. I actually played it pre-show, and I think it was you that was having some fun writing basically the next great American novel while you were listening to it.
Oh, right, yeah.
You were logged in as a different thing, but here is...
It's good day internet.
Yeah. So here's this, just a taste. Let me get a little bit going here. Whoops. Let me skip back some, start right here. Okay. Oh, yeah.
So the first thing when you were playing these, yeah. I thought of was like, Axel F. from Eddie Murphy.
Oh, it's very similar.
Beverly Hills Cop.
Yep. Very 80s in general, right? Very synthy. The reason I'm digging this and the reason I feel comfortable playing it now and not worrying about it is because it turns out it's pretty independent. But it is a channel I found on YouTube that I have fallen in love with. And I don't know how long they've been here. It looks like at least 2017. They've been around for a while. Surprised how few followers they have, like 8,000 followers. They deserve more. But it's called Stranger Synths. So if you're connecting, you know, the Stranger Things thing with this, you'd be correct. Their logo looks like a Stranger Things logo, except it's synths instead of things. And it's just kind of in that style. That intro from Stranger Things, if you've heard it recently, right. You'll know what I'm talking about. But they've tapped into this kind of dark 80s synthwave kind of music. It's all original. And there's hours and hours and hours of it. And I find it captivating. It makes me think of cyberpunk and all these genres I love. It just totally fits in. And I've been playing it before shows, and I just really dig it. And it was a total accidental find. I just ran into it because of the algorithm.
The second thing I thought of when you were playing this was a Kim Wilde video.
Oh, yeah.
Kids in America or something.
There you go.
When I started writing stuff in the chat room, I was writing like what I thought the video for the Stranger synth music would look like, you know.
Yeah,
kids in an alley wearing denim jackets and breakdancing, and
it's absolutely that era. And it's an era I think of very fondly from my youth, and I loved it. And some of the chat are saying not Daft Punk. It's similar to Daft Punk. I mean, Daft Punk pulls a lot of their inspiration from that era as well,
sure,
especially their last album. But it's very, very good, and it's just up on YouTube, and people should go sub to it and support that channel because it's rad. And again, it's called Stranger Synths, and I can't get enough of it. I think it's very, very good.
I've been on, I've gotten so tired of 80s music being the top 40 hits that I've gotten on a kick of going back and listening to like Television and Transvision Vamp.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
And just a bunch of those kind of 80s. I'm trying to find more of them in the playlist. The Gentleman After Dark, just a bunch of that kind of like alternative. I guess it was considered progressive, maybe, or new wave.
The new wave,
new
sure.
wave, probably. Yeah,
outer edge of the new wave movement, because some of that went kind of mainstream. But yeah, I miss that stuff, and I will also seek it out. It's weird. I didn't expect to be doing that, at 50, but here I am doing it. Going after.
You know what? I actually went and tried to find an old playlist because that was the kind of stuff that was being played on the college station I started working at in 1988. And I was like, oh, I'll get a bunch of ideas. I'll go look at a playlist. Of course, Idiot Tom in 1988, you know what he was playing on that station? I remembered after I saw this getting talked to by the station manager. I was playing a bunch of classic rock. I'm like, man, I hadn't actually learned about the music yet.
Yeah, I understand. It's a tough time, man. Yeah. It's good stuff, though. You guys should check it out. Again, that's Bjorg Dark Chocolate Biscuits and this channel, Stranger Synths. We have a quick email before we get out of here. This is from Jamie. It's also known as TMS Mashups on both Twitter, and he's the dude what makes great mashups for TMS.
Nice. Thanks, Jamie.
He wrote in this and had his own little forecast of his own. He says, hey, I have a really cool thought for that. I'm walking through the kids section of Target with my kids, and it hit me that one day...
Without his kids.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Without his kids. And it hit me that one day you'll be able to record an environment in VR and bring that experience home to a loved one to experience it who wasn't there in person. Imagine recording a roller coaster ride at Disneyland or something as trivial as the Transformers aisle of your local Target. What a world that would be, says Jamie.
I mean, that just seems so obvious now that you say it, Jamie. Mm-hmm. I can't believe that we didn't think about that before, but you're right. Like, there's no reason, and they've started to come up with these VR cameras, but they're usually positioned for, like, studios, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you'll put it in a studio or maybe at a live event, but why wouldn't they eventually just become something you can pop on your hat, mm-hmm. you know, or in your AR glasses?
Sure.
And just record 360 or even 180 degree video, right?
And
just be like, this, from my perspective, was the thing that I was doing. I know you couldn't be there with me, but... Yeah, walking through the toy section at Target and then coming home and being like, okay, kids, here's what they got there. You want to make your Christmas lists or whatever.
Yeah. The Wraith in the chat says Strange Days. Yeah, that's the plot. Although they made that seem like it was going to be a horrible drug and kill everybody. But yeah, that's the concept.
I mean, eventually it will be, obviously.
Yeah, I think so. But I think everything will kill us eventually. But we'll be okay for now. Here's the
thing,
though.
Not until Facebook gets a hold of it will it turn dangerous.
Well, here's the problem. If... They're going to get all kinds of resistance at first. Whether they should get resistance or not is arguable. But if you go record...
Well, it's going to be the same as Google Glass, right?
Right, yeah. Same thing. But if you go to like a popular Disneyland ride and you ride it, and now all of your friends can do that high fidelity experience in their VR, which also, by the way, has grown and been awesome by the time what he's talking about is possible, VR will be potentially indistinguishable from reality. Now you're talking about all kinds of legal questions. Like,
I don't think Disney, here's what I think Disney would do. They wouldn't want to ban that because they know that that virtual experience will just encourage people to want to do it for real. What right. they'll do is they'll build it into the ride.
Yeah.
So you're not allowed to wear your own glasses because that's a safety hazard. They might fly off.
Right.
But each seat will have virtual reality recording built in. And as soon as you're done with the ride, you can download it to your Disney app and pay for a copy of it.
Yeah, that's how they'll do it. But it can't.
Oh, yeah.
What Disney's not going to allow is Tom with his little freaking bootleg hat going on that ride and then later just having it in his house because he didn't pay for it. You know what I mean? Like, that's, they don't want that.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't think they'll worry about the piracy aspect of it so much. I think it'll be more like, we want people to pay for the download, so we'll just try to keep them from putting it on during the ride.
Yeah, and a good example, Jimmy Two Times in the chat room just gave one that was in my head, and I'm glad he said it. He says, remember when everybody was freaking out about the live streaming major sports events and concerts with Periscope? That outrage didn't last very long. Yeah, like, that's how this stuff goes, right? Like,
well, yeah, like, people putting concerts on Instagram and stuff, mm-hmm. like, people really quickly figured out, like, oh, all that does is make people want to go to the concert.
Yeah, or VHS taping your favorite shows, networks at the time. They lost their minds. And it turns out that actually made people want to get your content more. And they were catching up on a thing that they couldn't be there for. Like, a lot of times the knee-jerk reaction is often totally the opposite of the way things are going to go. And when I was holding up a tape recorder to my TV to get, the latest episode of Letterman and take it to school with me and listen to it in my boring classes.
Yeah.
Like that, no one cared then. But now I can do that stuff in digital ways that is actually illegal. So I have to, you have to be careful. But anyway, I think that's a really good one, Jamie. And
yeah, I like that, Jamie. Good stuff.
Thanks for bringing that to the table. Next week, we're going to do something that, honestly, I don't know why I'm so excited about it because I'm not even that big a fan of the show. But we're going to do an Autopilot episode. It's time for Autopilot. And we're going to do Friends. Now, the reason I'm excited, I've mentioned it before, is that the Friends pilot is freaking weird compared to the rest of the series. And I mean it kind of across the board. Their clothes are strange. Their haircuts are different. They act differently toward each other. It is an odd mix. And it's the perfect kind of Autopilot for the show because it's really odd. It's not like, I don't know.
It's the opposite of Cheers. When we watched the Cheers pilot, it's like, oh, this is you know, with the exception of Coach and Diane still being there, mm-hmm. it's exactly the same show it was for the entire run.
Yeah,
that's right. It's all there example. From the beginning.
Yep.
Friends, not that way.
That's a
not quite A-team level weird, but it's weird.
It's weird, and you're right. That's another good example of the opposite, but it's just weird enough that it seems like they shouldn't have had, it shouldn't have gone the way it went. Or at the very least, like a new trailer or a new pilot would have been maybe made. This would have gotten shopped around,
right,
maybe
right,
a different
like a pilot, second
pilot
or something.
Which happens sometimes. They did not do that here. It's very odd. And
but nobody told them it was going to be that way.
No one told them it would be that way. So here's the deal. Next week, I do that instinctively. It's a household thing. You clap after you say those words, and I can't help it.
Yep.
That's the song.
It's just, it's a learned response, folks.
It's
just
right.
Excuse him.
Pavlov's dog. So anyway, next week we'll do that, and everybody should do their homework. It's on Netflix. It's on, it's heading to Disney Plus though, isn't it?
For now.
Yeah, or something. Isn't that who's getting it? I think Disney paid a bunch of money.
Warner, HBO Max.
Right, Max is getting it. Oh, it's getting ugly out there, guys. They're fighting. All the big boys are fighting. Anyway, we're going to do that, and it'll be fun. I also watched the Disney finale, the Friends finale about 2 weeks ago, just by happenstance.
That's funny. So yeah. This is going right back to the beginning, so you have a good comparison.
I do, and I really disliked the finale. It was bad. So I'll maybe bring that up next week when we get to it. Anyway, that's next week right here on Current Geek. All right, Tom, before we go, you got any cool stuff going on you want people to know about?
Yeah, man. Daily Tech News Show, dailytechnewsshow.com every day. Fun bringing you the stuff that makes you understand technology better. We consistently get people writing in and saying the reason they like the show is they feel like they know more about technology. It helps them in jobs. It helps them in conversations. So get a little smarter for only 30 minutes a day. dailytechnewsshow.com.
That seems like an all right idea. All right, that's going to do it for today's show. Thank you for being here. CurrentGeek.com is our website. You're going to find everything you need right there. Our Twitter accounts, links to the Reddit, all that. CurrentGeek.com. Until next week, for me, for Tom, we'll see you then. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.